because he will stay away from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, meaning God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate the marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. And now Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 7. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them.
Thank you, Daniel. These words haunt me. Will you come and follow me where you don't know and never be the same? Will you leave yourself behind if I but call your name? They come from a song which we sing occasionally and we'll sing at the end of the service, called The Summons. And the song builds on the invitation that Jesus offers to fishermen Peter and John, to tax collector like Matthew. And it invites them to come on a journey of faith. And this morning, we have that question about journey of faith. Do we start on that journey, or if we're already on that journey, do we go further and deeper into our faith? And the invitation in the song, will you go where you don't know, I find haunting. I find it haunting because it speaks of the journey of faith that we undertake when we follow Jesus. Because the one thing we can be sure of, following the call of God, following the call of Jesus, we will find ourselves challenged. We will find ourselves facing uncomfortable dilemmas. The call of Jesus will take us to a place where everything suddenly seems lost and we simply don't know what to do except to trust in one who simply said, come follow me. The journey of faith will often leave us with messy uncertainties, with imperfect answers and incomplete solutions. To accept the call of Jesus, come follow me, is to launch out onto an adventure that will change our lives, change the way we speak, the way we live, the values we hold dear. In short, once we begin the journey of faith, once we begin with that initial meeting with Jesus, a journey that begins there and ends by meeting him in person in glory, we can never be the same again. And just as it is said of those that there are those who will say, if you remember the 60s, you weren't there. Such is the nature of following Jesus, I would dare to suggest that if our lives do not change, if we do not find ourselves facing moral dilemmas because of our faith, if from time to time we don't find ourselves in places where we can do nothing else but trust in God, if the answers we receive to our prayers do not sometimes seem incomplete or imperfect solutions, then something's amiss. Because as we see in the experience of Joseph and Mary and the sort of experiences that are normal to those who commit themselves to being the people of God, of living lives that speak diligently of following Jesus, the journey of faith is full of dilemmas, of incompleteness, of times when we really don't know what to do. And here in the journey of Mary and Joseph take to Jerusalem, a journey that actually Matthew tells us very nearly didn't begin, we see Joseph face a dilemma. Mary, to whom he's committed to be in marriage, is pregnant. When we read this story, we so often read that Joseph was betrothed to Mary. And in betrothed, we read, or we hear, engaged. But scholars suggest that the process of betrothal is much stronger than we understand engagement in our current culture. It's not simply something you can simply break off. Betrothal is the second stage in a process that leads to marriage. The first being the choosing of a wife for the man by the parents. And this task usually carried out by the parents in a conversation between two sets of parents. The man and the bride. And then comes the betrothal, which is a pre-nuptial agreement made in the presence of witnesses, a legally binding agreement that is not easily broken. Scholars suggest that it's almost as binding as marriage is today. But unlike a wedding, it doesn't culminate in consummation. It's not until after a period of betrothal that the wedding actually takes place. And it is this period of betrothal, this having signed the agreement to marry, that causes Joseph his dilemma. Because having been away for a few months, for 3 months, staying with a relative, Elizabeth, Mary returns, and it's becoming obvious that she's pregnant. And since Joseph knows it's not his baby, what is he to do? This is the dilemma of the righteous, the conscientious, the law-abiding. This is a dilemma of someone keen to be right before God. Joseph's situation means he must keep the rules of the Torah, the law and the prophets. And this is an issue. Because being righteous, being virtuous, being law-abiding, being contentious in the ways of the Lord creates a tension for Joseph that can create a tension for us. Because as much as we would like to live up to the standards that we find of God in his word, as much as he reveals to us of who he is and how we would have his people live, and as much as we might take on his laws, there are times when applying them are really difficult. It's difficult because we want to be right before God, and that means living differently than the world around us, by different standards, standards that set us apart from the world. And yet, to be compassionate, to have a pastoral sensitivity, it doesn't fit with what we see before us. You see, the whole point of the law that was given to Israel on Mount Sinai was not just that it shaped their lives, but it shaped them as a community, as a nation. It also shaped them as a people. It defined them as being different from all other groups, all other nations. And that may mean, if we are the people of God, that we too are shaped in something that is different, and that makes some decisions very difficult. It may mean we find ourselves in a dilemma. So when we read that Joseph was a righteous man, he was faithful to the law, we see him as a man committed to being part of God's people and living within those constraints, those boundaries that create and define the people of God. But now, with Mary so obviously pregnant, Joseph finds himself not knowing what to do. If he follows through on the marriage, he will look like he's condoning what appears to be Mary's adultery. But more than that, knowing the baby's not his, Joseph will know that the law compels him to seek a divorce. For Joseph, a faithful man to the law and finding himself betrothed to an apparently unfaithful wife, divorce is not an option, it's a must. And it leaves me wondering, when we hear the call of Jesus to begin to respond, I wonder where we face those sorts of dilemmas, where our submission to Jesus seems to clash with our own sensibilities, our own desires to be compassionate. And more than that, when is the right course of action? What do we do as a right course of action in those dilemmas? Living part of the people of God is not an easy call. There are going to be times when we are placed because of what we believe and how we believe God calls us to live, when we will face a dilemma, when it puts us into conflict with the way the rest of society lives. And it leaves me wondering how we deal with those dilemmas. Here in the story of Joseph, there's a real tension between the requirements of the law and his desire to be compassionate. Being righteous, a righteous man, Joseph seems to genuinely love Mary. But due to the surprise of his pregnancy, he has little choice but to acquiesce, to give in to what the law says. And so he decides to divorce in the quietest way possible. We see that same acquiescence, that same giving in, that same, just got to do this. In the way Mary and Joseph together respond to the call for them to travel to Bethlehem to take part in a census. We know the command so well. We read it in the build-up to Christmas. We will read it again in the carol service tonight. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree, a census that should be taken of the whole Roman world. This is the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. Now, scholars agree that this census was almost certainly linked to making sure that enough tax was paid, that people were counted. But it's also about power. It's about ensuring the Roman Empire asserts its authority on people. And so being law-abiding people, and despite being heavenly pregnant, Mary and Joseph acquiesced. They set out on a long journey to Bethlehem. And because the census involved the whole Roman world, towns and cities everywhere are busy, filled with people who don't normally live there, filled with people who are visiting because despite having lived away for perhaps many generations, because their family line comes from this town, they have to go there. And so it should be no surprise, really, that accommodation in these places is full. Often these are guest rooms in private houses. And it seems without the ability to book ahead, there's no Airbnb, no a chance to book ahead accommodation, it seems. And seemingly without a family to stay with, Joseph and Mary set out on a journey not knowing what they will find when they arrive. Which brings me back to those words, will you go to where you don't know if I but call your name? It leaves me wondering whether we will follow Jesus not knowing where actually it will lead us. And more than that, how we might cope when we find ourselves having to step out into situations where we don't know what to expect. And it seems that being led into situations where we cannot know what to expect is part of what it is to follow Jesus. But more than that, it's part of what it is to be the experience of the people of God. We see right back through the history of God's people. We see it in the call of Abraham to leave Haran and go to the land that the Lord would show him. We see it in the call of Moses to lead the people out of Egypt and journey across to the promised land. We see it in Ezra and Nehemiah as they bring the people back from Babylon. They bring them back to the promised land. We see it in Jesus as he calls a fisherman, a tax collector, a zealot, and others to follow him. There's a real sense of the call of God is one to go where we don't know. It's what preachers often refer to as being leading us in out of our comfort zone. And the problem with being led out of our comfort zone is it is exactly that. It's uncomfortable. Puts us in a place where actually all we can do is trust God for what comes next. And that's not an easy task. But if there's good news in this story, it's that God rescues. He rescues Joseph in the midst of his dilemma over Mary's pregnancy. He rescues Mary over what action Joseph might take because she's pregnant. He rescues both of them because they are in need of accommodation. If there is a significance to this story, it surely comes in God's response to Joseph's dilemma. It comes as the provision of accommodation. But having said that, the provision doesn't exactly come in the way we expect or desire. Joseph would have to live with other people knowing that Mary was pregnant before they were married. Both Mary and Joseph would have to suffer the indignity of their baby being born in a stable. When they arrive, they don't have any choice. This is the only place they can go. It's not certainly the first place they would choose. And maybe here there's a critique to a prosperity-type gospel, a victorious-type gospel, where God always meets our needs and always meets them in the way we expect and hope them to be met. Maybe there's a critique here of the type of faith where that depends on all the ends being nicely tied up in a nice, neat package. It leaves me wondering, what if there are loose ends? What if the reply that God offers to our prayer, the solution that he provides, is not always perfect, is not always complete? Because if there's something in this story, it's the fact that this is incomplete and an imperfect solution. Because whilst Joseph receives an answer and takes Mary to be his wife, others will always know that she was pregnant. There will always be those who speak after Jesus was born of a baby being born in a stable. It leaves me wondering, what are our prayers and promises of God that appear to be partially answered for us? Where the resolution to a dilemma is not what we expected or wished for. I wonder if there's room for a God who provides an imperfect answer or an incomplete solution. I wonder. Of course, the imperfect answer and the incomplete solution is a common thread that runs through God's people. But the truth is that it's never as incomplete, it's never as imperfect as we might initially think. As we see both in the story of Christmas and the Easter stories, both in the birth of Jesus and in his crucifixion, we find God fulfilling promises given to his people long before and seeing them fulfilled. And partway, if you only join the story partway through, it might seem incomplete, but ultimately it is the completion of God's will and perfect. And it leaves me wondering how we deal with what might seem at this point to be incomplete or not a perfect solution, but how God is still at work bringing a completeness through the journey he is calling us to take, that journey of faith. The journey that Mary and Joseph will take takes them to a place where they come face to face with God as he's born to us in Jesus. And it's a journey that's marked with a dilemma. It's shaped by an acquiescence to a decree that is issued by those in power. And it is a dilemma and a journey that are shaped by a desire to be law-abiding. And abiding not just by the law of the land, but also the guiding principles of the scriptures. And the journey of Mary and Joseph is one found in hearing the call of God and being willing to go where we don't know and never be the same. It's a story of leaving them, Mary and Joseph leaving themselves behind and never being the same. And it leaves me wondering just how far we're willing to go to follow Jesus. How willing we are to wrestle with life's dilemmas that a journey of faith confronts us with. And how willing we are to make that journey not knowing where it will lead us. And perhaps only finding on the way imperfect answers and incomplete solutions. I wonder how willing we are to travel longer and deeper into our journey of faith, a journey that begins by hearing and responding to Jesus' words, "Come, follow me." I wonder. Amen.